2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at the first six verses here in just a moment. You know, we've been working our way into the 2 Corinthians. We saw in chapter 3 that Paul, he described his ministry and how God was using it to change lives. And that's what his ministry was all about, a life-changing ministry. He described it as a ministry of the New Testament that gives life and that provides righteousness and was more glorious than the Old Testament law that killed and condemned. And he referred to this ministry here in the very first verse of our text this morning. And so I want us to pay close attention to that as we look at that. And that though his witness and preaching were often opposed, he did not faint or lose courage. And he mentions this in verse 1. So I'm just giving you some things to watch for as we read through. So look at verse number 1 of chapter 4. Therefore. Now when you see the word therefore, he says, I'm talking about what I just said. So chapter 3, that's why I reviewed what he just said in chapter 3. Therefore, because of his ministry that he had has that was given to him by God. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. That's a critical word there. He says, we faint not. We're going to be looking more into that in just a moment here. The idea is he didn't quit, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as we look at this morning, Paul here reveals three actions that he took in order to remain courageous as a witness and not give up. If you've ever tried to be a witness for Christ, and I hope you have, if you've just tried to even speak to somebody and tell them what Jesus has done for you, it takes courage. And what happens is, I have to admit, even though I've been doing this for years and years, when I talk to somebody about the Lord and they shut me right down and say, I don't want to hear about that, go away, leave me alone, I just feel beat up inside and I feel like, why am I doing this? Alright? And we all face that. We face that temptation to get discouraged, we lose courage, we feel like quitting. And Paul said he faced those same kind of things, but he says here in verse number 1 that we faint not. We are not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're not going to get discouraged. We're not going to quit. And he tells us three things that he does here in order to be able to stay courageous during those discouraging times. And that's what I want us to see here today, because those same three things that Paul did, we can do be able to be encouraged as well. Number one, Paul shared the truth without compromise. Verses 1 to 3 here, he says, first of all, that he renounced, in verse number 2, he renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. All right, so the word renounce there literally means to speak out against something. All right, so Paul said, I'm speaking out against certain things. And as he shared the gospel, he was saying here, I'm doing it in the right way. I'm not being inappropriate in how I'm sharing the gospel with others. And so he says, first of all, he renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. The idea here is shameful things. The things that he was doing unethically or were without tact. Grace. He was using graceful methods. He was not being inappropriate. Paul said, I renounce those things. When I witness for Christ, I'm trying to do it in a tactful, tender, compassionate way. I'm not just boldly barging in there and smashing people down and beating them up with the gospel. He says, that's not what I'm up to. I'm trying to be tactful about it. I'm not doing it in a dishonest or a shameful type of a way. Then he says he renounced walking in craftiness. Now the craftiness here speaks of that which is cunning or shrewd or unscrupulous. The idea here that he was just trying to trick people? Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of people that try to use pragmatism. When I talk about pragmatism, we're talking about if it works, do it. Or the end justifies the means. Whatever you need to do in order to get people to respond. And you know, there's a lot of that going on in our world today. A lot. That's why so many churches have changed from what they used to be. Now they are more of an entertainment center. Why? They're trying to bring people in, and they're trying to use craftiness to get them to listen to the gospel. If I can kind of trick them into coming into church, then maybe they'll hear a little bit of the gospel and maybe they'll get saved. It doesn't work that way. You can't trick people into getting saved. You can't trick people into trusting Christ. And more, the older I get, the more I see, and the longer I've been in the ministry, the more I can see that we're saved because Christ convicted us, the Spirit of God convicted us of our sin, and we saw our lost condition and we trusted Christ. A person doesn't get saved until he sees his lost condition. It's not just a matter of how many of you want to go to heaven. Yeah, we all want to go to heaven. All right, say this a little prayer and you're on your way. It doesn't work that way. It has to do with a conviction deep down inside. I am guilty. I am condemned. I'm in trouble. And if I don't trust Christ, I'm doomed. And when a person comes to that point, then they'll trust Christ. You know, as I'm praying for my grandchildren, some of the younger ones, they're old enough now that they could understand the gospel. But I'm praying that God will convict their hearts. It isn't just a matter, you can talk a child into anything. You can say, come on, little child, you know, don't you want to go to heaven? Yeah, say this little prayer and you're on your way. And a lot of parents do that, tragically, this causing the child to think that they're on their way to heaven when they're really not. And so there has to be that conviction of sin. And so Paul here says, I'm not preaching and witnessing in a deceitful way. I'm not trying to be crafty here. And then I actually got ahead of myself there. He says he thirdly renounced handling the Word of God deceitfully. Handling the Word of God deceitfully. The idea here is corrupting the Word of God, or actually adulterating the Word of God. Twisting it and mixing it with maybe religious traditions, or mixing it with other things to make the gospel impure. Paul said, I'm not doing that. I'm preaching the truth. I'm not watering down the gospel. And again, we see a lot of that happening today, where people say, you know, there's certain things you can't talk about in church anymore. You don't talk about sin. You don't talk about hell. Don't talk about judgment. Those things kind of turn people off. You start preaching that kind of stuff and people are going to go away and they're never going to come back. Well, that may be true, but that's the core of the gospel. And it's important that we see that. And Paul said, I'm not going to deceive people. I'm going to tell them the truth. They need to know what offends God. They need to know they got a problem. And so there's... this is important, and while this may be tempting, it doesn't produce solid results that please God. It doesn't work. And so Paul said, I've renounced these things. But he said, here's what I'm relying upon. In verse number 2, he says, but, and I've highlighted these words, and if you have the opportunity, if your Bible program or your app or your phone or whatever you've got has the ability to see the Greek words that are there, or even the numbers that are there, the word for but, there's two basic words for but in the Bible. One of them is the little word de. It looks like a D and an E, but it's delta epsilon. That's just a general word for but. The other one is Allah, and it's like an A-L-L-A. And Allah is that but that is a strong contrast. It's saying black and white. You know, the opposites. And so that's the word he used here. He said, I'm not using the Word of God. I'm renouncing all these things of dishonesty and craftiness and handling the Word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth committing herself to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He said, I am making known the truth. I'm revealing the truth. I'm sharing the truth with other people. And that's really the key. Paul says, my goal is not to be tricky and deceitful and sly, but he says, I want to reveal the truth. The truth can set you free, Jesus said. And it is the truth that we need. And so Paul's practice here was to reveal that truth. It's not a popular thing to talk about these things today, as I already mentioned. And until a person sees that they're a sinful, lost person, they can't be saved. On another occasion, when Paul was in prison, he'd been arrested. And he was arrested in Jerusalem. And then there was a plot to kill him. And so the governor sent him to Caesarea, and he was there in Caesarea for 2 years as a prisoner waiting trial. And on one occasion, he stood before, well, several occasions, but the primary one that's mentioned here is when he stood before Felix, the governor. And when he stood before Felix, the governor, he was sharing his testimony of the gospel to Felix. And as he shared his testimony of the gospel, Acts chapter 24, verse 25 says that he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Paul said, I just told him the truth. Now, what did he mean when he said he reasoned with righteousness, judgment, or righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come? Well, righteousness deals with God's righteous demands. What does God say is right and what does God say is wrong? So there's a clear distinction there. This is right, this is wrong. And so he reasoned with righteousness. Now Felix was an ungodly, wicked man. And yet he was the governor. He had the ability to send Paul to prison or even possibly execute him. And yet Paul says, I'm going to just tell him the truth. He needs to know the truth. And so he dealt with him about righteousness. Then he says about temperance. Temperance is self-control. And Felix had a lot of problems with that. And Paul said, the reason that you need God's salvation is because you cannot control your sinful appetites. And if you don't control your sinful appetite, there's going to be problems. And then he dealt with judgment to come. God's judgment. God does not just overlook the bad things we do. So he says there's a right standard, and we're not living it, and there's judgment to follow if we don't deal with that. And that's why we need the Lord. So Paul was sharing this. He says, I'm going to share the truth when I share the gospel. And Paul knew that the truth would work in the conscience of men. He says that in the end of verse 2, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He said, it's the truth that can work in their conscience. And as you share the gospel with other people, if you just share the truth, now we need to share it lovingly. Paul was not being unkind or blunt or brash. He was appropriate, but he shared the truth. And Jesus many times was very clear about the truth when he preached. And people didn't like what he had to say because he told them the truth. And so if you share the truth with other people, God can use that in their conscience to prick their conscience and say, you know, maybe I do have a problem. Maybe I do need that God. Maybe I do need God's salvation. And God can use that, and it'll start to work in their hearts and eat at them until they say, that's my problem. And then they can be saved. And on the other hand, Paul knew that if he hid the gospel, it would be hid from them that were lost. Verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid from them that are lost. He said, Paul said, if I don't tell them the truth, if I change my message, water it down, twist it a little bit, make it more compatible with society, make it more comfortable, and I don't tell them the truth, the gospel's hid from them. And if it's hid from them, it's hid from those that are lost. They're going to spend eternity separated from God because they don't know the truth. And folks, the devil is so cunning. And he works in my heart and in yours when we're trying to witness to someone. Especially if it's someone you love. You try to tell them about Christ. And the devil makes us fearful to just tell them the truth. Because it might upset them. They might get mad at me. They might get shook at me. They might not like that. They might not even talk to me anymore. They may kick me out. Well, we need to be tactful, but we need to tell them the truth. And the Apostle Paul was saying here, when I get discouraged, when I'm tempted to quit, I just remind myself that I've got a responsibility. I've got a responsibility to tell the truth without compromise. I need to tell the truth without compromise. And that is what we all need. You know, if you go to the doctor, and some of you have done this, and Annika was even sharing with us this morning, almost the identical thing I'm going to share here is an illustration. You go to the doctor with a pain in your chest, and the doctor says, yes, you've got a heart problem. But then he turns and says, but don't worry about it. She'll be right, mate. He said, that's not what I want to hear. I want to know the truth. If you've got a heart problem, that's not something you just brush off and say, no problem, she'll be right. No. You see, how do we fix this problem? Because if I don't fix this problem, it could kill me. So we need to have the truth. And so it is with people that are lost around us, whether it be our neighbors, our family, somebody we've never met before, but we share the gospel with them. They need to know the truth. And so Paul said, when I get discouraged and I feel like quitting, I know that what God wants me to do is He wants me to tell people the truth without compromise. So I'm going to tell them the truth. Then secondly, Paul said, he sought to open their eyes. He knew that the preaching that he was preaching to the blind. Verse number 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Those who are lost, verse number 3, and it talks about the lost, those are the unbelievers, those who have not trusted the gospel, who have not put their faith in the Lord, are lost. And we ask ourselves, why do people not believe? I mean, if you told somebody that, listen, you can go to heaven if you'll just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and God will take you to heaven, your sins will be forgiven, you'd think everybody ought to want that. But why don't they? Why is it that a lot of people out there say, keep your religious stuff, I don't want it? Well, it's a good question to ask ourselves. One reason is because they're sinners. Sinners don't like to be confronted by the truth. You know, many times we talk to people and they say, I'm not that bad. I'm a pretty good person. I do okay. I think I'll make it. God loves everybody. I'll be all right. Don't worry about me. They have that attitude. That's one reason why they don't listen. But another reason is, Paul says here, is because the God of this world has blinded their minds. Satan, the God of this world, has blinded their minds, their thoughts, their thinking, blinded them so they can't see the truth. They've lost hope. They have no hope of eternal life. They're blind. They have no idea which way to go. I can't think of very many ailments that would be worse than having blindness, where you couldn't see anything. Can you imagine just going through life totally blind, having to feel for everything, listen carefully and watch so you don't trip and fall? That would be hard. And yet God says here that the people of the world are blind spiritually. They cannot see. You can tell them, this is the good news. And they say, I don't see it. I don't get it. And it's because the devil has blinded their eyes and they don't see that. Satan blinds in many different ways. He blinds with religion. A lot of religious people today are blind as blind can be. They say, well, I've been baptized. I've gone to church. I take communion. I say my prayers. I give to the church. And, you know, God's a good God. I'm fine. They're blind. Blind. They can't see. Just this week, I was talk to someone about the Lord, they say, "Oh, I'm Catholic. I'm fine. I'm okay." And I said, "I hope you're right, but I doubt it." Religion blinds many people. Sadly, religion chokes many people, and they spit the dummy. They just, "I want nothing to do with it. I've been there, done that. Get away from me. Leave me alone. Religion's not for me." Because they've tried it, maybe growing up in a hypocritical situation or gone to a church that was dead, and it turned them right off. So religion blinds people's eyes. Another thing that blinds people's eyes is self-righteousness. Now, folks, we all have more than our share of that. We don't like to think that we're as bad as we really are. That's our human nature. But when a person says, "I'm okay, I'm not a bad person, I'm not going, God wouldn't send me to hell. Why would He send me to hell? I've never killed anybody. I've never robbed a bank. I've never raped anybody. I'm not that bad. God wouldn't send me to hell." Their self-righteousness has blinded their eyes, and they cannot see that the real problem is their sin nature. They're sinners from birth. They've sinned all their life. And their sin separates them from God, but their self-righteousness blinds them. Another thing is Satan's lie of evolution has blinded multitudes. "Don't believe the Bible. You can't believe that stuff in the Bible. The Bible says that God created everything. We know better than that. Evolution did it." And the lie of evolution, deceiving people into thinking that it all just evolved from slime on the pond and it was all a big accident. We're all just accidents of nature. When God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And they said, no, we don't believe that stuff. And it turns them off and they're blinded. Many today in the younger generation especially are blinded by moral and gender perversions. All kinds of perversions that are going on in our world today, morality. Blinded by these things. Satan also blinds by basic things like busyness. I've had scores of people tell me, "No, I don't want your paper. I don't want to talk to you about that. I'm too busy for that stuff. Don't have time for God. Don't have time for church." Materialism blinds people. "Why would I need God? I got everything I need. I got a nice house. I got a nice car. I got a boat. I got everything I want. Hey, I got a good job. Why would I need God?" Materialism blinds. Pleasure blinds. People out there seeking for their pleasure and their enjoyment and their sports and they're having a good time. Don't have time for God. So there's a lot of things that blind people's eyes. But Paul says here that the devil is behind it. The god of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. When unbelievers reject your witness, remember that they are blind people. That's why they're doing that. They're blind. And Paul knew that that only the gospel could open their blind eyes. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ alone can open their eyes. And that's what he mentions here in the end of the verse. Recently I noted Paul's commission by God when he was saved. God commissioned him to preach. And he was telling this testimony in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18. And he says that God told me that I was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. That was his commission, to open their eyes. You know, folks, God has given us, as believers, the job and responsibility of opening the eyes of others. If you're like me, the first question that comes to my mind is, how do we do that? How can you open someone's eyes? How can you get them to see? It's not easy. They must see their sinfulness and their need for God's righteousness. But it's not easy to help them with this. Romans chapter 10. I want to read verse number 14. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14. It says, "And how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? God says there needs to be someone that will share the gospel with them. They need to hear the preacher. And so we have a responsibility. We must rely on the Holy Spirit of God to convict their hearts as we share the gospel. Another thing we can do, how do we open their blind eyes? Rely on the Spirit of God. Number two, we need to pray that God would work in their hearts and open their hearts. We need to use the Scriptures. That's so important. It's not my fancy words or your talented speech that's going to reach someone with the gospel. It's the Scriptures. Use the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God never says in the Bible, your testimony is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. No, He said it's the Word of God. So we've got to use the Scriptures. And, you know, we struggle to memorize Bible verses. It's hard. I'll be honest, it's hard to memorize Bible verses, and it's even harder to remember the ones you've memorized. But it takes work, and it's something we need to do. And each of us ought to at least, this is the bare bones, at least memorize 5 clear verses about salvation and have them down so well that you can use them as you talk to people. That's not asking too much. 5? I mean, you can do it. It might take you a while, but you can do it. Memorize some verses so you can use the Scripture, because God uses His Word. And then pray earnestly that God would open their eyes when you speak with them. You know, maybe it's your child that you're burdened for. Maybe it's your neighbor you're burdened for, or somebody at work, or a friend. And you're burdened to share the gospel with them. But their eyes are blind. It's like you've talked to them before, and it's like, duh, I don't get it. I'm not interested. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm okay. They're blind. How do you open their blind eyes? Through prayer, through depending on the Holy Spirit to convict him, through using the Scriptures, just asking God to work through your word, His Word, in their hearts. That's the only thing that's going to do it. We've got to keep the Word of God in front of them. So when you get discouraged with your witnessing, and you're feeling your courage is low, with God's help, seek to open blind eyes. Remember, Paul said, when I get discouraged, the first thing I do is I try to tell the truth without compromise. I tell them the truth without compromise. Secondly, so that I remember that they have blind eyes, and I'm sharing with those who are blind to try to open their eyes. But then thirdly, he says, Paul proclaimed Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Paul did not promote himself. He was not out there trying to make a name for himself, becoming an orator, or somehow be a captivating speaker. Sometimes there's temptations with those kind of things. I admit, there's been times when I've listened to someone that's a really captivating preacher, and he just grabs your attention, and you're just so absorbed in it. I think, wouldn't it be great to be able to preach like that? And sometimes I've had to tell the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm happy to be with what you made me. You didn't make me that way. I'll be what you've made me to be. But you know, sometimes we may aspire to be something like that, but that's not what's going to reach people's hearts. Oh, yes, God can use that, but God can use basic, simple things as well. Paul said, I'm not out to promote myself, but I'm out to promote the Savior. Paul could not change the lives of the lost sinners, neither could he forgive their sins. But he could preach Christ Jesus, who could. And the same is true for us. If I could share the gospel ever so clearly with somebody, it isn't me that's going to save their soul. It's Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the only one that can save anybody. And same thing with you. When you're trying to witness to that person, you're having a hard time, preach Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the one that can do the job. He's the only one that can do it. He's the one that can change a person's heart. It's helpful to share your testimony if you witness to people. It's a good thing to do. Share how Christ has worked in your heart. However, never forget that it's not your words that saves them. It's the Lord Jesus who saves them. There's no other way. And Paul preached Christ Jesus the Lord. He preached about the one and only one who could change lives. Jesus Christ. We ask ourselves an important question that all of us would say, well, we already know that, Pastor. Who is Jesus Christ the Lord? Why would we preach Jesus Christ the Lord? Well, because of what He's done for us. He's the God-man who came to this earth and took upon Himself human flesh and lived for 33 years on this earth among sinners. Lived a sinless life. And He loved sinners so much that He came to die as our substitute to pay the debt of our sin. He died on that cruel Roman cross. None of us can fully grasp the agony of that cross. But far worse, we certainly can't grasp the curse and shame of bearing the sins of all humanity in His spotless, sinless body. Yet He did for us. And He rose from the dead after 3 days to complete that salvation. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47 says, And said unto them, Jesus was speaking here to the two men on the road to Emmaus. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus have I thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It may not have been to those two men on the road, but it was that same night. But He said there that Christ Jesus came to provide remission of sins to those who repent. Christ alone can give that remission or forgiveness of sins. I can't forgive your sin, but Christ can. And that's a wonderful truth, that He forgives sin. Being God, He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Verse number 6. But God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That little phrase, commanded the light to shine out of darkness, nobody knows exactly what it refers to. Many suspect that He may have been talking about creation. God who at creation spoke the light out of darkness. I'm inclined to think that that was probably what He was talking about there. There's some other possibilities. But if God could do that, and He could, then God can shine light into a dark heart and bring light to that person's life spiritually and give them the knowledge of His glory. And that's what we need to share. So as you get discouraged, and folks, listen, we all do. We all get discouraged at times with trying to witness. That's why we don't do it as often as we do. Because we get discouraged. Or we get fearful. But Paul said, I am not going to faint. I'm not going to quit. Why? Because I'm going to keep on doing what God has called me to do. He says, I'm going to keep on preaching the truth without compromise. Folks, that's what we need to do. Keep telling people the truth. Don't compromise and water down what you're saying. And he says, I'm going to try my best to open blind eyes. I'm preaching to the blind. They can't see. They don't understand. But I'm going to keep praying and depending on the Spirit of God and using the Scripture to try to open their eyes. And he says, I'm going to proclaim Christ Jesus the Lord. You know, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you can do that. You can tell people what you know about Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I don't know a lot. Well, tell them what you do know. Tell them all that you know about Jesus Christ and what He was like and what He did and how He died and how He paid the debt for your sin. You can do that. Paul said, that's what I'm going to do, because it's Jesus Christ that can change lives. So when we get discouraged and lack courage to keep going on, we need to do as Paul did and just tell people what we know about Jesus Christ the Lord. So as we wrap this all up, Paul faced opposition when he witnessed. He's tempted to, just like you and me, to lose heart and get discouraged and quit. When that happened, we must do what he did. Preach the truth without compromise. Seek to open blind eyes and tell people about Christ Jesus the Lord. One thought I want to leave with you, and I hope it'll stick in your mind, and that is this, and I've shared it in the past, and that is that God can use our feeble witness, but He cannot use our silence. God can use our feeble witness, but He cannot use our silence.